T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Corner of Broadway and Battery. Damon Bruce, Ray Ratto, and Matt Kolsky. Broadcasting in beautiful downtown San Francisco. This is Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming after a day of radio host, key party, roulette wheel, weird, mix-it-up orgy radio. It's back to the same old married couple sex that you're used to. Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, good to see you guys.
I see you only bring toys for special occasions.
Do you really want me to go get Big Pink? Yikes. Big Pink's in my locker room. I will go get a megaphone if you think it would help this show. Ray, would you like a slide whistle or a bicycle horn throughout today's show?
I have to tell you,
hand to God, I'm already offended.
The slide whistle was so good. Driving in, I wasn't sure if it was you or a sound effect on the machine.
That was well. You know, I've been practicing playing that bad boy, and I'm glad you
knocked it out of the park.
I liked it better when it was called the peanut whistle. But yeah,
the peanut whistle.
That's what it was
called. The peanut whistle.
I am in favor of that.
I don't know why.
Bring it back.
No stupid questions segment starts without us even saying it's going to happen. Welcome. It is good to have you here. Also, you do not need to adjust your radio. The sounds that you heard last night were an actual warrior victory.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of your radio on 95.7 The Game and coming out of Chase Center for the very first time ever, Steve Kerr was asked if he actually felt a pressure to get a win in the new building.
I don't know that it felt like that. It was more that I just feel great for our guys. You know, I was so proud of them the other night. You know, I hated walking out of this building with a loss to Charlotte when we played well enough to win. And I just felt like they deserved more. And tonight they proved that. And so it's great validation that their effort and their work is being rewarded.
Now, I mean, I think it goes without saying the parade should go up, not down Market Street.
Yes.
Good win last night. It says an awful lot about, I think, the way Kerr coached this team to come together in spite of the situation it's in. In spite of or despite? Despite of the situation? Or
In spite of.
In spite
or,
of the
or
situation.
Or despite the situation.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Either way, no matter how you say it, the Warriors are sort of handcuffed into a reality that no NBA team really wants to be facing, and it's going to come down to, are you going to play hard? Because that's the only shot you got. The Warriors played hard last night. I don't know what it says about them. I do think I might know what it says about Portland. We'll get into that in just a little bit. But I was impressed last night. And if you're selling me the Eric Paschal show between now and Steph Curry's hands better, I didn't think I'd be saying this. I'll buy 2 tickets to that show. I'm interested. Give it to me. That was fun last night.
He's more of an interesting watch to me than any of the other new guys, because I think he does more things, and he is a more logical bridge to Draymond Green than anybody else they've got. And of all the players that they had in the glory years, the guy who was going to be most difficult to replace was Green because of that. You can get out-of-your-mind shooters from distance. There aren't very many of them. And none of them will be as good as Stephen Curry, but he looks like, if not a Swiss Army knife, then at least a Swiss Army spoon.
Yeah, I think he's very Swiss Army knifey. He's less Draymond-y than people have suggested, and I know that wasn't what you were saying.
Yeah, I'm just talking about breadth of skill.
Yeah, he serves the same multiple purposes in a way that Draymond does, and I think what he does have in common is, despite what looks like an undersized guy, he can play pretty big. He can rebound with people bigger than him, defend people bigger than him, and he's very smart. All that said, he'll never be the defender Draymond was at Draymond's best, and Draymond will never be the offensive player Eric Paschal will be at Eric Paschal's best. at least when it comes to scoring the basketball.
Or maybe even right now. I mean, forget about his best.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's tricky because what Draymond does offensively is tougher to measure and very valuable, but
right.
valuable under a certain set of circumstances that don't totally exist right now. What Pascal can do on offense, we're watching it. It stands on its own. It shows itself. He is capable as a mid-range shooter. He's a ferocious finisher for an undersized sort of 3-4 type guy. And he's surprisingly bouncy. I mean, he sort of explodes more than you'd expect for a guy with his body type.
Hey, when you get a first-round opportunity to come into the NBA draft, you take it. You don't need to go back to school to learn anything else when a first-round dollar amount and guaranteed contract is waiting for you. That's ringing the bell loud and proud, and you should be very, very happy that you did it. But Pascal really is a poster child for what happens if the evaluation process doesn't evaluate you and you actually get to go to a four-year school where you're going to really develop a basketball IQ and a grown man's body. Whatever Pascal lacks in athleticism or whatever reason that the Warriors even passed on him twice before they decided to draft him, whatever reason many NBA teams passed on him before the Warriors took their stab at him, whatever the reason was to not draft him, I think we undervalue what a grown man at the age of 23 looks like in comparison to 19-year-old rookies. There is a difference, and I think you see it in him.
Well, also, and I'm now that the new wave of 2020 mock drafts is beginning, the thing that always has struck me is that people think in terms of traditional positions. And Pascal is not, I mean, because he does more things than your prototypical three or four would do, I think he was harder to evaluate. And frankly, players who come out of Villanova have always been a little harder to evaluate because I think through Jay Wright, all the way going back to Raleigh Massimino, they've taken sort of odd ducks and made them work. I don't know if there's any sort of philosophy around that, but the guys who came out of Villanova were always harder to project. The ones that NBA scouts fell in love with didn't do well. The ones that they were lukewarm did. And he's probably another one of those guys who got undervalued because he's not traditional.
Yeah, and I mean, I do think the league has started to adjust to the whole tweener is not the insult it used to be, right? 15-20 years ago, if someone was a tweener, they could just wash right out because no one knew what to do. That's not the case anymore, but you do still get guys like Pascal, like Draymond Green, who there are other examples that aren't on the Warriors as well, who slip through the cracks a little bit because no one can project a clear NBA skill. But as it turns out, in the case of Green and Pascal, they may not have one clear dominant skill, but they have an incredible array of various NBA skills that they can employ, and they're smart about how and when to use those skills. And that might be the thing that ties these two guys together more than anything is just a basketball IQ that reflects, you know, a tremendous gift for being able to do this thing.
We've got a really good show for you today. A couple of great guests. One coming up to talk about the NFL. We got Peter King today. Brian Scalabrine also stopping on by. A fantastic show set up for you lovingly on a Tuesday, which means we're going to have a Tuesday trifecta. And because this is a weird week for us here on 95.7 The Game, weird when you look at what we did yesterday with the show-to-show roulette spin of the wheel that we took. We've got a weird schedule for you coming up this week. Tomorrow, we have an abbreviated show ahead of Warriors basketball there in Houston. Thursday, we have an abbreviated show ahead of a Thursday night game where the Raiders are playing in Oakland. Friday, we have an abbreviated show, Warriors out on the road yet again. So this is our only full four-hour show.
Say that again.
I knew you'd be excited, Ray. Our only full four-hour show all gosh darn week, so we hope you be a part of it. 888-957-9570. We're going to want you to be a part of it a little bit later on around 420 today. We're going to play the name game.
Yee.
The normal Wednesday radio bit we have moved up lovingly because we got a pair of Sharks tickets to give away for Thursday night's game. So we're going to do that, even though we don't have a 420 tomorrow. We got a 420 today. And really, let's face it, in the Bay Area, it's always 420 in all of our hearts somewhere. 888-957-9570 is the number. We got a good one for you this afternoon. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game. What's coming up, Matt?
Yes. What's coming up on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Ticket Crushers and Peter King, 320, talking Niners and rest of the NFL. Brian Scalabrine to talk some Warriors and NBA issues at 4 of the clock. Got a ticket, suspended license, DUI, don't pay.
4 of the clock?
4 of the clock.
4 of the clock. When you see the 4 of the clock,
that's
you
right.
must salute it.
No, no, that's the new way we're doing this.
Oh, nice.
I as the junior member here, I decree that we will now call it 4 of the clock.
Okay, but you're clearly the senior member.
Well, no, just in terms of my proximity to death.
Junior it makes member. Sense. It really makes sense in
okay.
a weird way.
Fair enough. Don't pay. Let the attorneys at Ticket Crushers go to court for you and crush that ticket for as little as $149. Ticket Crushers knows how to win. Call 866-TICKET-HELP. That's 866-TICKET-HELP for a free consultation. That's all coming up on Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
An interesting sports week is about to fly by. Again, whenever you get your week off on a different start than it normally gets off on, it feels like it messes the whole timing of everything up. And obviously, we had fun yesterday on the station, spinning all the shows and hosts around. So already, because of the Mix and Match Monday, it feels like this week is moving by quickly. Last night, Warriors pick up their very first win at Chase Center. That's nice. While we were watching Monday Night Football, you had a little flip back. Today's a normal Tuesday afternoon, but things are about to get weird. Wednesday, Warriors are at the Rockets. It's a 4:30 tip. On Thursday, the Raider game kicks off at 5:20 against the Bangers and Mass Chargers. We will get to that in just a little bit. On Friday, we are off early once again. Warriors are at the Timberwolves. That's a 5 o'clock tip. You come around to it, Saturday is just going to be an awesome sports day that goes by in the blink of an eye. It's a huge weekend in the Big Ten. If you're into any local college football, you got Cal hosting Wazoo. Stanford is at Colorado. But the big daddy of them all is number one LSU at number two Alabama. That's on Saturday, along with the Warriors at the Thunder. So the Warriors got a back-to-back Friday and Saturday. Sunday? Guess what Sunday is?
Sunday.
It's whatever you want it to be, Ray. It's whatever you want it to be. You can
no
watch whatever
football.
You want to. No local football. We got the Raiders getting out of the way on Thursday.
You know what that means, yeah, though, in all honesty? More kid shows later in the morning. And because I think it's Champions League week, there's no soccer for me over the weekend. So, no, I'm just going to stay in bed and drink.
That's nice. Drinking in
that
bed.
That works, too. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have kids that you guys can't do that anymore. But me, I'm...
Watch me.
I guarantee your wife will not permit it. You'll be up at 5:30. She'll have you... You'll be doing baby laundry. She's going to be the one staying in bed and drinking.
So if you're on your couch, you can watch whatever you want on Sunday. If you are laying in bed with Ray, you can drink with him.
Or because you're there.
Yeah, so plenty to do, no matter which choice you make. And then Monday, all it is the biggest game in the history of Levi's Stadium for the 49ers, and we're going to be down in Santa Clara all gosh darn Monday getting Woo. Ready for that one. So this is a good time. This is going to be a week that goes by in a blink of an eye, and because Monday is a little wacky next week's going to go by in a blink of an eye as well. That's how it works when sports keeps on chugging, 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 chugging. I do love this time. By the way, Liverpool is playing Man City on Sunday. The text line wants you to know, Ray. Does
oh, okay.
that help you out at all?
That does help me out.
Okay,
because
good.
Now I have a reason to get up. Although, the two college games back-to-back Saturday are going to be sweet.
Yes, they are. LSU, Alabama. Look, kids,
And that's the second half of the doubleheader, so you can get fill in your day.
Yeah. And look, there's some big games in the Big Ten.
LSU, Alabama, Penn State, Minnesota, just very sweet.
Yeah, good times. Good times. Unfortunately, 7-2 Indiana has got a bye week, so you can't enjoy my Hoosiers. They got a full week to get ready for Penn State. Rawr. We're going to lose by three touchdowns.
Look, if the Hoosiers aren't playing, I'm just not watching college football this weekend.
There you go. The man has spoken. 888-957-9570. Look, if you can't offer me the Eric Paschal era, I really don't want to watch the Golden State Warriors. That's how I feel about it.
Bowman with a dribble to Paschal. Paschal up top, shoots over Hood. It's a three, and it's good! It's good for Eric Paschal! Largest lead of the night for the Warriors right now at 107.99. Back to Robinson. Robinson brings it outside. Dribble drive to the rack. Floats it up. No good. Paschal gobbles up the rebound and slammed it down.
He led the Warriors to a win, and he did it on his own birthday. A little gift for all of us, I guess.
Honestly, I came in the game not even thinking about any of that. I came in the game just like, all right, let's play hard. I mean, it is my birthday. I said during the interview earlier, I said this is a great birthday gift. But, again, I owe it all to my teammates, man. They give me the confidence. They give me all the confidence in the world to go out there, play my game, and not shy away from the moment.
And, look, I think this team deserves all the space it needed to gain a little confidence from just practicing together. I mean, if the Warriors, as familiar as we were with Steph Curry and Draymond Green, now don't even have Steph Curry, Draymond Green. We don't even really have any familiarity with D'Angelo Russell. Now he's out of the equation. Like, of course it's going to take a while to put it on the same page. I'm surprised they got it on the same page as quickly as they did. Now maybe Portland was a tailor-made, easier to beat than others would be opponent. I don't know what to look at when I'm looking at the Trailblazers, Matt. What the hell am I looking at? Like, how about this? Here's what I think I'm looking at. Do you remember the Dame Lillard gif of him looking directly into the camera after hitting the big shot in the playoffs last year? That's the zenith of the Dame Lillard Portland Trailblazers. It's all downhill from there. That's as good as it's going to get. You can break them up right now. They ain't winning nothing.
Well, people have been saying that for 4 years, and the reason why they stay with it is because Damian Lillard is a guy you get rid of at your peril. They're not going to win a championship. They don't have enough players around him and McCollum. They never have. I mean, the year that they got to the conference final is that's over clubbing for them.
And look, I'm indicting Portland, not Dame Lillard.
Oh, he's spectacular. I understand. That's a team, though, that I don't know how many chances it had to get dramatically better because they kept bringing guys in and trying to find that combination, and it still ended up being two smallish guards and journeymen. And even in this era, you can't do that. You have to have something else. And they were never able to find the else. I mean, they thought Nurkic would be it, but he was always hurt. They're just...
Zach Collins just got hurt. A huge problem is the other part has always gotten hurt. I mean, they've had injury struggles. I don't know if that shot is the zenith of the Blazers, but I think the Blazers
I mean, do you
are more
think
or less
going to an NBA Finals.
No, so in that respect, yeah, I think this version of the Blazers is likely never going to go back to a conference finals. But just in terms of how good these guys are, I don't think it's over for them. I think they're about as good as they've always been, pending how some of the other pieces work out. And you know, they did take the only undefeated team in the NBA down to the wire the night before. And they, you know, the Sixers needed an improbable final second shot to beat them. So I don't want to overreact to seven games, but I also kind of want to say it doesn't so much matter whether last year was the zenith in terms of ability or not, because this was never a championship contending roster.
No, but one, that shot was, that was Damian Lillard's zenith.
Well, so far.
Well,
29.
I don't know that he's going to top that moment. And he doesn't have to. When you saw that shot happen and you saw his reaction to it, that's the thing you're always going to think of with him. That's what I mean by his zenith.
Right.
That's the image.
For now.
As for Portland itself, it's not that they didn't try to find a combination that would work. It's that every time they did, there was somebody in the way. The last 5 years, it was Golden State. And before that, it was San Antonio. You know, they were at no point the best team in the conference.
And they did cast their lot with this pair of guards who create certain problems forever. You know, you're never going to be the best wing defensive team with those two guys starting and playing a ton of minutes for you. And both those guys are great, McCollum and Lillard. And Lillard in particular was pretty great yesterday. I mean, it's hard to point too many fingers
right,
at
39.
Him
I mean,
for what went wrong. Yeah, 39 points and you know, four assists, one turnover with the ball in your hands for 37 minutes basically is it's impressive stuff. And he's still great. And that's why I say, who knows? I mean, for all we know, they could trade C.J. McCollum and Hassan Whiteside for Kevin Love or something, and all of a sudden you're talking about a totally different idea. But anytime it's Dame and C.J., I do think there was a ceiling on it.
Probably, although, I mean, if they had gotten lucky with Nurkic.
Yeah, if Nurkic had stayed healthy.
I
mean,
because I think most
story.
People liked that trade,
mm-hmm.
and for good reason. But I don't know that the problem in Portland was anything more complicated than they were never the best team.
Yeah.
And I think in the NBA, more than any other sport, the best team wins.
And that can just happen to you where you have a really, you know, ask John Stockton and Karl Malone or Charles Barkley or any number of guys. Sometimes you're really, really good and you have a really, really good team and there's just a team that's downright better and there's not much you can do about it.
Philadelphia in the 60s, Philadelphia in the 80s, where they each got one title, but they were better than one title. Milwaukee in the 70s, when Don Nelson made his bones as a coach. There's always somebody who is, you're not good enough. You're just not good enough and life's cruel and then you get a hip replacement and then you die.
In the vacuum, always a smooth segue. In the vacuum of just it's fun to watch. Last night was the most fun I've had watching the Warriors since the Rocket series ended the Western Conference Finals last year. Because let's face it, the NBA Finals were kind of a nightmare. That wasn't as fun as it was supposed to be for obvious reasons. So just in the vacuum of did you enjoy watching that basketball game, I mean, punctuate it twice. Last night's answer was an emphatic yes. What I liked was and I will say this, Twitter is not good for a lot of things. It is good for a few other things in terms of, how about this? This is one of the all-time sniff tests, all-time canaries in the cage. We complain about everything on Twitter. So if Twitter can actually agree that we're all in agreement on liking something, maybe there's something there. Warriors fans, Warrior Twitter Nation, whatever you want to call it, I think all agreed. And not just because we were longing for that first win at Chase or just longing to see winning basketball. I think everyone agreed. That was a fun basketball game to watch. We're into it, and we'll take a whole bunch more like that. And here's the deal when it comes to the reality of who they are, their pecking order in the league, and El Tanko Tanko. I want to see last night's effort level repeated game in, game out. If that's good enough to get you a win, great. Fantastic. Put that in the tank of you can build on that next year. If it's not good enough to get you a win, that's fine too. You can put that in the tank of tanking.
In a way, it's a freeing place to be.
It is. It's liberating.
Yeah. You don't really have to worry about wins and losses. And honestly, like, even if you're someone who wants losses, you're not going to have to worry too much about that. They're going to come. But how long do you stay competitive on any given night? And you hope it's, you know, three and a half quarters
drag
most nights.
Drag me into the fourth quarter.
Yes.
I dare you.
Yeah. And, you know, that's one of the interesting things, I think, as far as D'Angelo Russell goes. Watching last night's effort, as you say, I know exactly how Draymond Green fits into that. He's another guy who's going to crash the boards, work on defense, move the ball on offense. I'm not sure exactly how D'Angelo Russell fits into that. Now, I do know he'd have been the best offensive player on the floor, so I'm not saying, you know, they're better off without D'Lo. It's not that. I'm just saying I don't know how he fits into the style of offense that we saw last night, which we do know is more or less the preferred style of offense for Steve Kerr.
No, I think D'Angelo Russell is, I mean, without Kerr, it is actually going to be harder for him than easier because
without Curry, you mean?
Without Curry, I'm
Got
sorry.
It. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I like to call him Kerr just because you know five letters is too taxing for me. No, I think he's going to struggle with this, and it's not going to be talent based. It's going to be what do you want me to be tonight based, and I think D'Angelo Russell showed last year that when you give him pretty strict parameters about what you want from him, he can thrive within those parameters. It's this sort of frontierless, you know, you can be pretty much what you want to be because there's really nobody around you to prevent that, where I think he's going to have troubles and he'll have bad nights and good nights and people will end up confused by what he is and what he's supposed to be here.
D'Angelo Russell has a sequence of pop quizzes that each regular season game that he doesn't get to play with Steph Curry that he has to take here. But the truth is, his final grade isn't based on any of these pop quizzes. How is he going to fit in with Steph? How does this guy fit in long-term with Klay Thompson? Again, these are questions we cannot answer for a while now. So it makes the next few months of D'Angelo Russell as what I hope to be entertaining and from a basketball fruitful standpoint, it's a little, I don't want to say it's meaningless, but it's not representative of what he needs to be to prove that he's the right piece going forward. And that's it. It's sort of like when Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt last year. It was hard to evaluate who fits into this offense without this piece.
You know what, though? I don't know that we actually, you're absolutely right in terms of what we see on the floor. But I don't know that what we were going to see on the floor even this year with Steph
would have
answered that question. I think the way the Warriors are going to answer that question is more behind the scenes and what they feel like he's willing to do. And also,
I think they really like him behind the scenes. I haven't heard
about as a person off the court or anything, but I'm talking about in practice what his different skill levels are and what different things he seems to be capable of and interested in doing. And then maybe more to the point, defense and less about success than about effort. But look, Jordan Poole's not a good defensive player right now, but he was running around on defense last night. He was chasing guys. He was closing out. He was giving effort. And that's, I think, probably as much a part of the evaluation for D'Lo as anything. And here's the other part. He becomes a tradable asset on December 15th. And whether they've already made a decision on trading him, whether they've yet to make that decision, whether they never trade him, the better he plays every single night, the higher his value is.
Absolutely.
Because ultimately, I do think that's where this ends, is with D'Angelo Russell traded. And I'll tell you what, when you watch an effort like last night, it at least makes you feel like if you traded Russell for, say, a first-round draft pick and a more complimentary wing, you'd still be a reasonably competitive team night to night.
Not winning, but
competing.
I think they're going to find that it's a lot harder to find a partner than everybody else does. I don't think this is a simple matter of, well, they'll just trade him. What I honestly think is that Curry's injury really makes that harder because people evaluating him won't have the same benefits that the Warriors thought there would be when he was there with Curry, because by December they would have found a structure in which they could at least peacefully coexist, if not thrive. I think now the chances of that are much slimmer, and I think there will be much less really usable information to other teams' general managers to glom onto and say, that's how we can use them.
Maybe I'm trying to play chess here when it really is more checkers, but when you look at D'Angelo Russell's contract, you know, a lot of people said locking him into that deal at this point in time is a little foolish only because he's more of a parliamentary procedure all-star than he is like totally earned it on his own all-star. And that's another debate for another show that I don't even want to get into right now. When you look at the number he is locked into, like what used to be seen through the lens of ooh, that could be too much. I wonder if it's not seen as a little bit more palatable right now. And maybe this even goes back to China being unenamored with business in the NBA. And his number is a lot more palatable today when you start projecting future draft. And it, depending on what he is, obviously, if he falls off from what his skill level of all-star paycheck is to suggest he should be, then he wouldn't have any value. But if he were, we'd all agree, very, very good at this. His number that you thought, oh, that's going to be tough to move, doesn't get tough to move at all. Might make it appealing.
I think it's, well, let me just clarify what I said earlier. I think it will be harder for them to move him during the season, but I don't think it's undoable come the offseason. I think once the offseason happens, they will have seen him with Curry, and they can make the judgment that they were hoping to make before Christmas, before the end of March. I think all that's basically been deferred by the 3 months that Curry's going to be out. And then they can make a more reasoned decision and find a partner if that decision is, we got to move on from him.
Yeah, like I said, I just don't know that the not playing with Curry matters as much as Ray believes. I mean, I don't believe it matters as much as Ray believes it does. For me, if I'm the Warriors, he's got to show me he can defend. Like that, because otherwise it's just not going to work.
Right.
We can talk about the offensive, but we watched a couple games to get an idea of the sort of problems that could be created. And generally speaking, it doesn't make any sense to have a three-guard lineup, even as good as Klay is, with the talent along the wing. You're not going to be able to defend the 1-3 positions consistently
right,
in the NBA
with
those three
guys.
Exactly. So it's not, unless D'Angelo Russell at least commits to defense, it's not even a realistic long-term plan. And at that point, there are reports saying he's valued. So I don't know. I don't talk to people in front offices around the league.
I'd like to think everyone's valued. You're
but
valued.
Brian Windhorst says, right. You know, executives around the league think he could be worth a first-round pick, if not more. And to me, that also means he could be part of a relatively big package. And Damon makes the correct point that his $29 to $31 million a year over the next 4 years is really not that much.
Right. You're swallowing your own tongue when you heard that number the first time.
No, but
even
Paul
today
Millsap,
it looks Mike, more realistic.
Mike Conley is like my age, and he's making more than that over the next couple seasons. You know, I mean, it's not an unreasonable amount of money. It's the young player max, but it's not an unreasonable amount of money for a player of his talent. And I guarantee there's at least a few teams around the league who'd be interested.
We're going to be shifting gears to the 49ers and the week of prep they have coming up ahead of Seattle on Monday. Peter King joins us today at 3:20. We're looking forward to that conversation. Right now I've got Noel in Pleasanton talking Warriors hoops. What's up, Noel?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well.
Good. I know the season is kind of like a shot considering all the injuries we have, but I really feel the situation that the Warriors got is really a blessing in disguise. I mean, we got a lot of draft picks, a lot of young guys that are getting the opportunity to play 30, 20, 10, 15 minutes a game, more than what they would play if our big dogs were all healthy.
It's look, it could be a huge opportunity for them to admit who they are, the reality of their own situation, and be able to skate through this season, selling it as an evaluation process, not the illusion of competing for a level of playoff contention that may not have really existed in the first place. I agree. It could, if it all plays right and the correct decisions are made, absolutely go down as a blessing in disguise. They play it the wrong way. They draft the wrong guy. It won't. You know, I mean, it depends.
Yeah, I mean,
how about this?
I am always with the idea that there is limited value in a doomed low seed playoff appearance. I agree with that general philosophy. So if you're telling me that these injuries essentially take what was destined to be at best a low playoff seed, no threat playoff appearance, and turn it into a potential top overall pick, sign me up.
How about this? Coming off of ahead of We Believe, before we got to We Believe, the choice between another trip to the lottery or the 8 seed, you choose the 8 seed. But once you've been to 5 straight NBA finals, and then the choice is really 8 seed or lottery, it's probably better to take a step backwards, admit your situation, there'd be more dignity in it, and take the lottery pick instead of the 8 seed.
Yeah, except that the Warriors are also, don't forget the Klay Thompson piece here that confounds it even further, because if they ended up the 8 seed, I don't know how they would do it at this point, but let's say they ended up with the 8 seed and he was ready to come back. I think there's a difference between an 8 seed who is a guaranteed first round and out and a live 8 seed. And there aren't very many live 8 seeds, but they have happened. If you had Curry back at 100%, Green fully functional, and Thompson ready to go, that's a different scenario than you usually get with coming in eighth with with 47 wins. I mean, it's everything about this year for the Warriors works outside NBA norms. You don't lose everybody on your roster from 1 year to the next. You don't have a situation where you want to tank at a moment when the draft does not look like a very good draft by everything I've seen, including two more things today. So the Warriors are in a weird place, and it's going to stay weird for a while, and you just have to strap in.
888-957-9570. More your calls, certainly welcome. We're coming back with you, with some phenomenal mic work from the one and only Kevin Harlan. And depending on where you want to start the timeline, man, the 49ers front office is really making some good decisions and has a little bit of a track record going. Again, where do you want to start your timeline? It's a big part of that conversation. 888-957-9570. Make sure you stick around. All of this coming up courtesy of Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Demon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Week 9 in the NFL kicked off with the 49ers surviving a trip to Arizona for a 3-point win over the Cardinals. Week 9 wrapped up last night with the Cowboys thrashing the New York Giants 37-18. I don't know if anything will be really remembered from that game, if we'll be talking about it at all a few years from now. Beyond this moment, another iconic moment from our friend Kevin Harlan behind the microphone. This is 90 seconds of good, clean, old-fashioned American fun, boys and girls.
Oh, there's a cat. A black cat is taking the field. A black cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the cat running the other way. And so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the cat run and zigzag all over the field. The black cat is at the other end of the field. He's
black
at the
cat
eight.
Doesn't know that it was last Thursday that was Halloween. Thursday night
right,
football,
yeah.
Not Monday night football.
He's a little bit late. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the 5.
He's who brought
walking.
The cat?
He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
Kevin Harlan's call of the cat last night on Monday Night Football. There, I could do an hour taking that apart like Zapruder film. My favorite peel of that onion is when he says the cat is in the, CDW red zone,
yes,
or whatever it was, when he gets his
tremendous
sponsor in.
Yeah, that was the worst thing about it for me, because This is a moment so pure that you won't go to the crass commercialism. That's the one he could have skipped. But the best part of it for me was when he was describing the Ingram catch and the cat simultaneously. I mean, he was basically bouncing from one to the other as though he had fish eyes and he could look at two different things at the same time. That was the moment.
That's why I like the sponsor, though, because if the Giants had been in the red zone, he's got to go to that card.
Yeah.
And he goes to that card with a cat in the red zone. He's going between play-by-play and cat-by-play.
It's tremendous.
Kevin
and by
Harlan
the way,
is a gift.
He is. I can answer the question. It's bad luck for the Giants.
Correct. Yeah. I don't want to say hindsight's 20/20, but Matt, you're right about that.
Yeah.
You nailed it. That was bad luck for the New York Giants.
Well, I mean, the fact that the cat basically lives under the stadium.
It's not a great look.
For all intent and purpose. Well, it's just a sign that, you know, the stadium's
or
old.
Or do you think that,
and,
I mean, that cat may have just gotten a mommy and daddy through these efforts. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if that ends up being a groundskeeper's cat.
You might be right.
I'll tell you what, the reason why you're wrong, if you don't mind my saying so, you will remember the time the groundskeeper in Detroit captured the cat, held him in his arms, and the cat just clamped down on his hand to the point where he's waving his hand up and down. No groundskeeper is dealing with a feral cat,
okay,
especially in New Jersey.
But some people like feral cats, and so maybe that cat gets a family out of this whole deal. That'd be nice. A nice end to the story.
It would be a nice end to the story. However, if you did have to pick a feral cat existence, stadium cat doesn't sound
Fried
too bad.
Chill.
A
lot of food.
The number one feral cat existence, I don't know if you've thought about this a lot, I have, farm cat. It doesn't get better than farm cat, right?
Farm cat's really good. Stadium cat is pretty great,
pretty
though.
Good.
I will say this as a mark of my age. When I was covering the Giants in the late 80s, the Astrodome still existed.
Uh-huh.
And they had, big surprise for Houston, a huge rat infestation problem at the Astrodome. And their solution
was cats.
And cats, you'll find this hard to believe, breed. There was literally an army of cats to the point where they didn't know what to do with that either.
That's a classic human issue.
They had a food substance. They had a food source. They found something that would take care of the food source. And then the thing that took care of the food source ran rampant to the point where I don't know what they're going to have to do, buy dogs. And then after that, what, a lion? You know, just, I mean, at some point, you know, yeah, we're buying rhinoceroses because the lions are becoming a problem.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the mongoose and snake things, you know? You got snake problems, get yourself some mongoose, but then you end up with a mongoose problem.
I don't know if that I've ever heard a plural for mongoose. Is it really mongoose?
I have no idea.
Mongai? It'd be incredible.
Dante Mongoose.
That's incredible. Yeah, Sidney Moncrief.
Sidney Mongoose. There you go. I'm going to look here.
888-957-9570 is the number. By the
mongooses
way,
mongooses or mongoose.
I didn't mean to get so distracted and far away from the Kevin Harlan call before we go through the great hits.
This is what you get when you deal with Kevin Harlan and animals.
Well, this isn't the first time Kevin Harlan's gone off script of actual game that he's doing to bring you the action you're more interested in. I take you to Levi Stadium just a few years ago.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat.
Oh,
Kevin.
They got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from the left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
And what makes Kevin Harlan maybe the greatest living multiverse play-by-play man alive today is he can bring this kind of fanfare to another sport. We take you courtside to an NBA game.
Shooting, and there's a throwaway.
Oh,
Morris into the crowd, spilled the beer. And will they cross the line? They do. Morris is dripping with beer. Paxton, Skyler, some Schlitz maybe, who knows? He's just soaked in beer in the pour, and it's in the guy's hair. It's in the guy's hair. Your Bledsoe with a three. No. Beer is every place. Some of Milwaukee's, the Miller highlight spilled on the floor.
I like the way that he knows that he's going to get better run by going with Miller High Life, so he stopped the Milwaukee's Best commercial that he was about to do to go Miller High Life.
The beast.
There is a man from Wisconsin who knows who really butters his bread.
Hmm.
I think that was the worst of his three, and I think he may be inching toward that the shark that you don't want to jump over. Because I don't think he's been better than the first time with the 49ers. And the cat was a fascinating new twist on it that he made work. The one in the middle didn't work nearly as well. And everything after that, you're pretty much out of life forms.
Well, here's the deal. I think you're more angry at me than you are Kevin Harlan, because he's only bringing you the action. He didn't stack these on top of each other. These are from different years, different seasons.
No, I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at Kolsky, but that's
who
a separate
is it?
Issue.
I mean,
he's just calling the action on the field.
Yeah, but I think there was. I think he tried too hard with the second one.
Right. No,
because the first one got him national fame.
Okay,
this one was better because.
It's a cat?
Well, no, because it happened during the run of play, and he bounced back and forth better between that than either of the other two. When he went commercial, though, he just said, I will sell this out and turn this into an ad for me
at some
point.
I don't think that's
No, I think that's
correct.
Exactly what it is, because I also think he loosed the cat. Because I think he needed another 15 seconds of fame.
The only thing I can tell you is that Kevin Harlan is good at this.
Yeah.
I
period.
Would agree.
End
well, yeah,
of story. Well, yeah. He's really good at it.
And nobody else tries. I mean, he's cornered the market, and everything after that is just going to be a pale imitation.
888-957-9570. Before we switch gears to the Niners, we bring you JJ in San Jose. Hello, JJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my call. I love the show. I've been a big fan for a long time.
Thank you.
I was listening to you guys yesterday in the mix and match, Damon, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned something that if there's ever a time for a Warriors fan to show how much of a Warrior fan they are, it's definitely right now, because before the season started, everyone kind of already assumed, oh man, we probably won't even get an average fan won't even get a chance to go catch a game without giving an arm and a leg. And unfortunately, you know, or I wouldn't even call it unfortunate, but the basketball gods played a hand. And if you really look at it now, like, this is a great time to go catch a game and go see what it's like to be in an environment which we haven't felt in 6 years.
It's JJ, what you're talking about is looking for the glass half full scenario. And that's where we really are. Look, Warriors fans who rightfully complained about the cost of getting into the building at the beginning of the year, I'm not here to tell you that your complaints and your concerns have fallen upon deaf ears. I hear you. If it weren't for the credential around my neck, I wouldn't be able to walk in there whenever I wanted. It's really, really expensive. If your problem was the price point, now that the market has cratered a little, take advantage of the new price point. That gives you an opportunity to go in and enjoy yourself if you felt that the price point before the injury and market cratered, that prevented you from going. So take advantage of it. And if you just wanted to go see the Warriors, you can do that. Checking out a new building for a quarter of the price that it cost people to go ahead and make the initial investment of getting in there. By the way, welcome to your 3 o'clock hour. Here's Ray Rabbit.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game. KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
And the thing is, those are your only choices.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.